All right, everyone. And how are you all doing? Are you doing good? Welcome to an edition of Gale Force FM. Now, this one is a little different because it's done at nighttime and it's going to be a bit more chill and more relaxed. And you can hear some jazz playing in the background. No, as I said, it's nighttime, but it's still kind of bright and there are still people around. Funny thing is, I'm not far from a field and there are two donkeys and one donkey is blind and he's guiding the other donkey around the place. But every now and again, the donkey that's blind stands on the other guy's hoof and there's just like pandemonium. Like, so they go, wah, wah, wah. It's fucking hilarious. And then they kind of kiss and make up again. So you might hear that in a minute. You may. We'll see. So, how are you all doing? Are you doing good?
What's the fucking story?
All right, Sean, look, calm your tits, fella, all right?
All right, girl, bye. All right, my tits, okay? I'm excited to be your co-pilot, like, do you know what I mean?
Look, Seanie, just sit still, all right? And please shut your cake hole. Oh, my God. Can you please stop breathing like that? It's like reverse ASMR or something, you know what I mean? In my headphones, my ears are going to fucking throw up. Oh my God, you sound like someone trying to suck a river with a straw or something. It's awful, Seanie, stop.
That made me laugh, kid. What's happening?
Oh, can you stop drinking like that? Okay, lads, I'm sorry about this. Look, I'm going to have to take action here.
No, come here, no, Seanie. Girl, what are you doing?
Look, it's for your own good.
No, please.
No, there we go. That's better. Now, Seanie, it's only for a little while, okay? And you can have a good news story for yourself in a minute to read, right? And I'll free you just in a little while, okay, to do that story, all right? I'm sorry, but you just can't stop. You can't help yourself. So sit tight, and if you don't sit tight, I'm going to tape your fucking hands to the chair, right? Okay, lads, so let's try this again. Welcome to an edition of Gale Force FM, with me, your host, and the boy wonder. Who's in a bit of a pickle at the moment, thank God. I hope you're all doing good. So let's kick this off with some positive news stories, because heaven knows the news isn't positive these days. But before I start, I just want to do a couple of plugs. The first one is of Scale Force, and Scale Force is a spin-off of Gale Force on Patreon. And it's run by the lovely Emmy the Artist and the Queen, the Lizard Queen, the mysterious Lizard Queen. So if you want to go and check that out, it's really, really fun. There's lots of great art and events in that. I appear there as well. I do some audios there and I do shout outs and such. And we write little stories like that as well. So if you want to check it out, it's really cool. It's only $1 to join, and that's just mainly for trolling, you know what I mean? So if you want to check it out, I endorse it 100%. It's amazing. So check it out, Scale Force on Patreon, and I'll link it below for you. So as I said, let's kick this off with our first story, and it's about elephants. Is it elephants? Elephants, elephants. But this story is a really positive development. You know, after 6 years of decline, the numbers of elephants killed illegally in Africa has dropped from 10% to 4%. That's a huge drop, you know. After attempting to disseminate the overall poaching problem down to its component mechanisms, the researchers analysed annual surveillance data from 53 different sites across the continent between 2002 and 2017. Totaling half of all the African elephants in the world. This is an important step that often stands in the way of people understanding the problems of poaching as it relates to individual communities of elephants rather than the species as a whole, you know. So the research findings, which were published in Science last week, highlights the fact that while elephant poaching is a Pan-African problem, it's clear that certain populations are more targeted, while others are growing in size, like the herds in Kruger National Park and some in Namibia. that have never experienced poaching at all. So it's branched out to other countries as well. But there's a ban in certain countries, an ivory ban, which is helping a lot. Like taking the tusks off such a beautiful animal, for what? You know, for what? What does it do? It has no value only for, you know, being, I don't know, seen as some kind of commodity that's miraculous, or it can, you know, I don't know really. I mean, these days you can make synthetic anything, so why not just make synthetic ivory, you know? So I can never understand that kind of thing. But the ban anyway has made it more difficult for the animals to be poached and to be killed, which is a really, really good thing. So more elephants are surviving. And, you know, I did a positive news story on elephants, or was it Shawnee? It could have been Shawnee. It's like we're two people for some reason. What's going on? But it's well worth checking out. I'll link that as well below. And when you hear about like how amazing they are, you know, how intelligent they are, because like animals and humans, they're largely, they haven't got the real, you know, the same intelligence, maybe except for cats and dogs. They kind of, you know, they can be kind of on par, but like the amazing things that elephants can do, it's just mind boggling what they can do. You know, it's a whole new world. It's a different intelligence, which is not an inferior intelligence by any means. So, you know, that's why we have an elephant, don't we, Shawnee? I really like this Shawnee. This Shawnee is like a Shawnee that everyone can handle. If there was only a way to like tape his fingers together so he couldn't be out on Twitter annoying people as well, you know. So now for another good news story from around the world, and it's got to do with plastic. And you know, plastic is a major problem for the environment, And so at a marathon recently, rather than handing out plastic water bottles to over 40,000 athletes who participated in the London Marathon, the runners were given biodegradable blobs as a means of reducing plastic waste. The London Marathon became the first full marathon to replace plastic bottles with edible water bottles. The packaging, which is made entirely of sustainable seaweed extracts, only costs about 2 cents to make. Isn't that amazing? 2 cents to make. And the packaging helped save over 200,000 plastic bottles from being used on the course. Imagine that. That is a lot of bottles. I'm going to have some of my coffee now, lads, so bear with me. Coffee. I lost my train of thought now already. See, coffee does that to me. And then I get my train of thought back and blah, blah, blah. But the less plastics, the better. I know there are some nice BPA bottles that you can buy, you know, if you're a runner or anything, and you can keep them for a long, long time and they don't seep plastic, you know. And it, I think as well with these ordinary bottled water plastics, I think I read something before about women especially. I think it affects women more, that if the bottle is left out in sunlight, the sun hits the bottle and there's some kind of chemical reaction that goes off that releases some chemical that's cancerous to the body. So it is something to be aware of, you know, to try to use like glass bottles if you can. So I have another story for you, and this one this really amused me. It was really cool, largely due to the fact that when I was in primary school, you know, I reckon that primary school, I don't know what they call it in America. I think they call it primary school in England as well. But when I was in primary school, I had a tendency to daydream a lot. And I was speaking about that before. I actually have to try find a report card and post it online. And it was fucking hilarious. It was just like Gail spends his whole day daydreaming and looking out the window. And I actually did, like, you know, like the teacher would be talking and I'd be looking out. And you know these like cold spring mornings, bright mornings where you could see the sun and you could see the moon still and like the stars, you know, at like 8 o'clock in the morning, I used to watch the stars and I used to look at the moon and I used to think, like, my questions were like, you know, why can't I see the back of the moon? You know, what's the moon made of? You know, the normal questions children will ask, like why doesn't the moon fall down? You know, how fast does it turn around? And then I started thinking, you know, how many moons would fit down here if they all came down here? And then the teacher turned around and said, ask me some stupid question. Well, probably wasn't a stupid question, but it was a question about English or something. And I just turned and looked at her, and I never forget saying this. I went, teacher, how many moons are in the sun? She just looked at me blankly and asked the guy next to me. But you can see that, like, as a child, and it's with all of us, we're at a different level of imagination. We've wonder, a lot more wonder. And as we get educated, we lose that wonder. We kind of get more curious than lose the wonder. There's kind of a difference, you know. You kind of get more wondering why stuff works rather than wondering what stuff is or why it's named the way it is or whatever. So they did this, I don't know, would you call it an experiment or just, I suppose an experiment. And they asked children to, you know, to help with major world disasters. And the thing about, like, a child's imagination is they'll simplify things. And that's what genius is the ability to simplify complicated subjects or problems and make them so simple. Like, a lot of the best inventors and the best minds are capable of doing that. They'll simplify some very complex things and come up with some solution. So they asked the children anyway about, like, major problems in the world, and I have some of them here. So one of them was, the first one was Ollie the ocean organizer. Now I'm going to link all these so you can actually look through, because they're really cute. And it was invented by a girl called Daisy, and she was age 9. And Ollie is a machine, and as I said, you can look at these pictures, they're just amazing, like, because they drew them as well as they designed them as well as they wrote their their description, which is cool. And the machine scours the ocean for rubbish and captures it in a giant net. Its inventor Daisy, the 9-year-old from the UK, writes that the machine would have solar powered propellers and its eyes to see if the fish wouldn't hurt them. So, like, can you imagine, like, that this machine is going around the place, it's cleaning up the ocean, like a garbage truck, but it can see the fish, so it's not causing any harm, which is really, really cute, isn't it? It's like, you know, you're inventing, like, if you asked the scientist about cleaning the seas, you're going to have a lot of fish fatalities, so, and that's going to happen anyway. But, like, you know, the child is already, Daisy's already taken into the account that she wants the fish to be saved, which is cool. The next inventor is Laura. And Laura came up with a benevolent robot that cares for elderly people and caters to their every need. So the robot's called Cody the Carer and has eyes that tells us if a person is getting ill. So it's like, you can see that even taking that now, and I didn't read anything about this, but the eyes can see if a person is getting ill. And that is actually technology these days, that they can look into your eyes and they can, you know, I don't know if it's come this far, but it can look into your eyes and it can tell, you know, if you're sick or if there's something happening. You know, I suppose when you look into someone's eyes that has liver problems or anything, you can see it, or if they have, you know, brain problems, you can see it. So, it has hands that are waterproof and can do dishes, and a mouth that talks to the old person and stops them from being lonely. Think about that, lads. That is some invention, you know. And another thing, like, she is 9 and probably hasn't heard a lot about AI and the advances that AI has made lately. So she's actually inventing that AI. It has happened to all of us when you think of it. I mean, I remember inventing something before, and I was, like, so hyped. I can't remember what it was. I was hyped. I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I tapped into the internet, and I was like, oh, fuck. But, like, that doesn't mean anything. That means you still invented it. It's just that someone got there first. So you still, anything you invent, if you've never heard of it. Now, there is a possibility that you've heard of it and pushed it into the back of your mind, but, you know, whatever. So the next one is a frogging pet, and it's by a guy called Luke. And the frogging pet, like, Luke is only 6, the frogging pet works by mixing hearts and very large water to create love. A special steam released into the air. The hearts not turned into steam are boxed up along with the conveyor belt and shipped all around the world for people to enjoy. So he's trying to spread love with hearts. Next one is the Tree Rocket by Tyler, and Tyler is 6. And the Tree Rocket is capable of transporting its passengers from England to Australia in just a second. And that, like, that's not beyond the realms of possibility again. It might be, I don't know, it might be 2,000 years time if we're all still here. You don't know. So there's windows in the top of the tree that allow for optimal viewing experiences during the travel. And a handy door in the trunk that provides easy access for the travellers. And this one here is by a little girl called Hannah. And she's 5. And it's called a Rubbish Eater. And can you see again how environmentally conscious the kids are at this age? 5-year-old Australian designer Hannah single-handedly solves the world's rubbish and deforestation problems by turning rubbish into fully formed trees. And next one is by Lexi, and it's called Bob the Robot, and Lexi's 8. And although he's been in the wars himself, Bob the Robot is perfect at helping other people explains the UK designer, 8-year-old Lexi. It's equipped with wings and the kindest brain in the world. It can cure cancer, medical issues, and encourage world peace. Bob reminds everyone that not all disabilities are visible. Isn't that cute? The next one is Dress Me Machine. More coffee, kids. It's getting a bit cold, actually, but who cares? So it's Dress Me Machine by Sam. And the Dress Me Machine helps its operator get up in the morning. There's a bit of a typo there, I think. And once your outfit is put together with handy selector screen and giant mechanical dressing arms, pop into your clothes and you glide comfortably along the conveyor belt. And you can see that's coming from a child that, like, when he wakes up in the morning, he's going, oh my fucking God, I'd want to get dressed. I remember being young as well, you know, and I remember thinking, like, if I could actually sleep in my uniform, if I could get it, I think I did it a few times and I got caught. But if I could sleep and get away in my uniform, you know, I just get up and go out to school. I'd save a lot of problem, get like 15 minutes extra in bed. And isn't it amazing when you look back at your school days, you'd go to bed and you'd be like, you know, oh, I don't want to go to bed. And then when you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, I don't want to get up. And then when it came to Saturday morning, it was like into bed late, like 5 hours sleep and woo, out and about doing your thing. Like, so he's just trying to save time there, which is kind of efficiency as well when you think about it. The next one, number 9, is the Food Spawner, and it's by Mia, and Mia is 10. And this magic microwave-like machine conjures up any food your heart desires. You simply type in the food you'd like, and the spawner does the hard work using its antenna at the top of the search for ideal recipes, and it can generate your dream snack, explains 10-year-old Australian designer Mia. So that's kind of like 3D printed now, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, she's 10 and she's already like doing 3D printing. She probably never heard of 3D printing and she's already, you know, she's already invented it. And as I said, these simple ideas are like some guy or girl or whatever had this idea when they were young and it just progressed into like 3D printers. Oh, I'm not too sure if 3D printers can do food yet. I think they can, though. I think they're doing mock meat. I think I read that somewhere. So number 10 is the final one, and it's by Lily. And Lily's invention is called the Tizzer. And the Tizzer is a machine that can fix absolutely anything in a minute. Simply put it at the thing you want to fix, turn the white button and wait 10 seconds and for the high-tech laser to start it up, concentrate its special fixing rays on the broken object, and voila, your machine is fixed. Thanks, Lily. I think everybody needs one of them, especially me, because I know I was breaking things. So speaking of inventions, now this invention is not at all new, but they are becoming more and more advanced, I suppose. My friend has a fancy new car, and he sends me texts while he's driving, you know. So he's got the phone like on the dash, and he's like sending me voice texts, you know. And when I heard him, like I'm I'm laughing, because like I can't understand he's got a really thick Kerry accent, you know what I mean? And the messages, like, they look crazy, you know, because he could be saying, I'm going up there now for a bite of it. I'm going up there now for a bite of it, you know. And it could sound up saying, like, fucking, I don't know, there are a lot of monsters at your gate. And it'll come like, you know, like that computerized voice, there are a lot of monsters at your gate. I'd be like, fucking hell. The machine can't understand them. It's just not versed in Kerry at the moment, you know what I mean? But what I started doing is I started texting him in the car while he's driving, but I started texting as the car, so it's as if like the car is speaking to him, you know what I mean? So I'm playing jokes and I'm like, so I'll wait till I know he's out and about, you know. I just know the time when he's out and about, like, and I text him, and then I'm like, hi Mark, how are you today? And the car has got, as I said, like, it's got this kind of Siri like type voice, you know, but it's a little more robotic. So I called him last week for it, like, you know. And I knew he was picking up girlfriends. He's picking up girlfriends of his from the airport. So I was texting and I was like, hi, Mark. Good afternoon. And the car was like, hi, Mark. in a Siri, I don't know, is it a male voice or a female voice? It was like, hi, Mark. Good afternoon. This is a little reminder to tell you that you need to pick up the cream for the rash you caught last week. So the car, and I was saying this, and the girls are inside the car, and they're looking like, and they're all quiet, you know. He was telling me like they're all quiet, and they're all staring at him, and I was naming out the cream then, you know. The cream is Betnavet, and it is very good for the itches that you have described, the itches that you have down below. And he's like red faced inside the car, his ears are burning and everything, like, you know. But I do it to him all the time, you know, like, I'm like, Mark, are you comfortable today? And there's someone in the car like, would you like me to switch on the massager underneath you for your hemorrhoids, Mark? And I tell you, like, he's one of these people as well, that he likes to drive the car, you know, when the needle is near empty, like, and he's kind of tight with money, like, he's kind of meat, you know, he's kind of mean, Jesus Christ, where did that come from? He's kind of mean, like, and and I'm like, hi Mark, I am so fucking thirsty today, will you please fill my tank, big boy? Rawr. And I call him so many times with it, like, you know, and I have his heart broke, it's so funny. And he tells me that, like, my timing is always, like, spot on. It's always great crack, you know. I sometimes he tells me he's, like, he'd have music on, and he kind of listens to his music loud, like, and he'd pull up next to a bus stop, like, with a load of women there, like, and I would say things like, Mark, you are looking so sexy today. Are all the women looking at you again, you hottie? And you fucking bollocks, you caught me again today, you bollocks. Oh God. Speaking of things that can talk, I think it's time that we free up Shawnee so he can do a bit of a story here, yeah? Will we? I think we will. Come on, Shawnee, I can sip on my coffee while you're talking. Let me get this. There we go.
Girl, for fuck's sake, boy. I'm sure you tore off a bit of my fucking bum fluff on my face there, but that's hurt me there now. Jesus Christ, I have no beard, like, you know what I mean? I was trying to grow a beard. All I have now is that's not on out at all, but oh my God. Do you know what though? You tried to keep my mouth shut, but my brain was thinking thoughts all the way through that, like, you know what I mean? So I could back to you, like, do you know what I mean?
You're free now. You can do what you want. Tell your story, all right?
Yeah, so my story anyway, and thanks for leaving me go there. Oh my God, my lips are raw. My lips are raw. They're all bulging and everything, but they're huge. Anyway, look, my story there is about elephants, all right? You know what I mean? And like, there's this circus in Germany, and what they're after doing is they're after getting rid of all the real elephants because they said it was cruel, which I agree as well, like, do you know what I mean? You shouldn't be doing that to elephants at all because they're dead and they're sound. My fella there out the back is the nicest elephant I ever met in my life. Sound elephant. But what they're doing is they're using holographic elephants. And I'd say it won't be long before they'll be using holographic clowns as well, because clowns are they're a different type of species as well. Do you know, they're being discriminated against, like. So it won't be long before the whole circus is holographic, like, do you know what I mean? So they do all the tricks, like, do you know, they can stand on one leg, they can play the guitar, the piano, they can do anything. There's nothing a holographic elephant can't do, like, do you know. And the visitors, like, they're really enjoying it. They just, you know, what would they know the difference? They're sitting back and they'll probably feel safer, because if an elephant charged the crowd, like, do you know, he might charge them a couple of hundred euro. Did you get the pun there, girl? But anyway, I think it's the way forward for definite, like, do you know what I mean? I'm thinking about getting rid of my blow up doll there of Taylor Swift and getting a Taylor Swift hologram, girl. What would you think, like, you know? You know, I know you were hollow when you walked in.
So your head is hollow, shiny.
Ah, serious, girl. I think the holograms are definitely going to be the way of future. I mean, they could feel the world. They could, like, you know, help us clean up the oceans. They could, like, send holographic men and women into space, just like the kids were talking about there and a while ago on your piece. Like, I tell you, no, I'm as good as an inventor as any three-year-old, you know what I mean, yeah, like. But I just want to be lying there on my couch, and you know that my holographic Taylor Swift just massaging me back and making me feel all loose and goosey and all ready for action, like, you know what I mean?
Shawnee, you do know the holograms aren't real, right? And by the way, did you feed the elephant?
Girl, but if it looks real, it can feel real, right?
No, Shawnee, no. And did you feed the elephant?
No, girl. He wasn't hungry.
Look,
he already
Shawnee,
taught me.
Elephants can't talk. You know that. Look, go on, feed the elephant. You did a really good job here today, and everyone's going to love you, okay?
I did, didn't
go
I?
Go on, feed the elephant.
I tell you one thing. Look, everyone, I see you later, right? You know what I mean? And I'll be back as a boots on the ground reporter for the next episode of this. I just have to hang around this week, like, do you know what I mean? So I see you later. Stay good and keep the faith. Bye.
Oh, God. Hyperhole is gone. Thank God. All right, look, another story. I came across this one during the week as well, which is kind of a bit of a funny one. So there's this French company that has claimed, right, that has invented a pill that makes your farts smell nice. Yeah, we all know someone that could use one of them, right? Yeah, Shawnee, who just gone out the back. And maybe he's elephant as well. So if you're sitting there thinking, actually, I know someone, you know, that needs one, it's you. I'm only joking. Anyway, the pill has been developed by an inventor called Christian, my French is kind of bad, I don't know, but Ponchevel, maybe? Who is based in western French town of Gisvert. Oh God, my French is brutal. And he claims that he can transform your smelly gas into a lovely fragrance of chocolate or roses. It's kind of like alchemy, like analchemy. But he actually thinks that he can make your poo smell like roses. And in fact, he's been at it since 2017. And he has an official website called Luton Malin. That's cunning imp in anglais. I don't know what that means, but they claim to have a pill that's entirely natural, and there's nothing, there's no medicine or drug based in it. So it's just a dietary supplement based on natural ingredients that make your gas smell good. And it's huge if it's true, you know. It is, like, because it would save a lot of problems. I'm one of these people that, like, if I'm in a room, you know, if I'm in a waiting room or anything and someone farts, I just automatically insta-gawk and insta-puke. I'm just very weak stomached with smells. It's a terrible affliction to have. And I often got in trouble because someone would just leave a small little, but then the small ones are probably worse. But I just like, I just can't stand. I'm just getting sick now thinking of it. But the website claims that the fart pill is a result of lengthy research and trials and is on sale since 2007. And the fragrances also add a touch of humour for any occasion. It's like sitting there with your lover and like, doesn't that smell like roses? It does there. What the hell are they thinking? So if you fancy giving this putrefying product, or this purifying putrefying product, whatever you want to call it, a bit of a go, you can head off to the website on Amazon. I'm plugging this for some reason. As it happens, you can pick up a sachet of 60 pills for less than $20. I'm sure there are a lot of partners, especially wives and girlfriends, that will actually avail of these and make their boyfriends or girlfriends take them in the morning, take these because I'm sick of it. Now, I actually know this guy, and he's always he's always farting, and it's so bad. His wife has candles around his house, like scented candles. And I'd say his farts are so bad they probably just automatically blow him out, like it's disgusting. And you can have your fart smelling like ginger. And there's actually seasonal choices too, like Christmas or chocolate. God, chocolate farts. Oh my good God. But it's not for humans either. You can actually give it to dogs, which is crazy. Dog farts as well. They can be really rough. And that's a claim to make because, as I say, dog farts are the bane of, owners' existence. However, according to Luton, you can just sprinkle the powder onto their food and it will just, replace the rank smell with the smell of flowers. Your dog is farting flowers. Oh my God. And he's explaining that it worked because he experimented on himself after a dinner party or something like that. And he said something had to be done and he invented it. So, another invention there from something simple. So back in 2017, researchers from Conservation International conducted a three-week research expedition following the discovery of ancient ruins in a deep site within Moscadisha rainforest known as the Lost City of Monkey God or the White City. Since the rainforest remains one of the most unexplored areas of Central America, the team hoped to shine the light on the ecological state of the region. The organization finally published a full report of their findings this week. Traven, and its details of how the ancient settlement is encompassed by pristine thriving ecosystem, teeming with rare and unique species, including new species and species once thought to be extinct. In total, the team documented 198 species of birds, 94 species of butterflies, 40 small animals, 56 amphibians and reptiles, 30 large mammals and as pumas, ocelots and jaguars, and a variety of plants, fish, rodents and insects. Some of the more notable finds included a tiger beetle, which had ever only been recorded in Nicaragua and was believed to be extinct, and the false tree coral snake, which had not been reported in Honduras since 1965. So they found lots of new species and species that were once thought were extinct, which is amazing news as well, isn't it? When you find that for all that's gone extinct, there are still, certain animals and creatures that are not extinct. And, we're finding new ones and there's new life developing as well. I was watching Dave Attenborough and it was the Blue Planet. And I was watching some of it, and it is shot in such a way that it's just, like, you know, with the modern technology and stuff and how they can, you know, follow creatures around and stuff, it's just like, wow, it's a mind-blowing experience. Like, it would nearly make you want to cry when you look at what's there. So, like, what I was going to talk to you earlier about was, like, I went to the doctor, like, about 3 weeks ago. And I went to it, like, what was happening was I was feeling kind of, like, out of breath, you know, when I was going to sleep. And when I was waking up in the morning, I was feeling kind of groggy, and it was kind of getting worse. And sometimes I was getting tired, and, you know, even to I kind of lost my mind to get around to things, you know. And I had this feeling that it was, like, oxygen, that, you know, that I was being kind of deprived of oxygen for some reason. And it's funny because I don't smoke and anything like that. But I went to the doctor, and they had a look through me and looked through me. They had x-ray goggles, and they were looking through me, and they could see out the back of me. But they had a look at me, and they, you know, they tested my heart and my lungs. And they could hear a little bit of a wheeze in my lungs, because, as I said to you before, like, asthma runs my family, you know. It's a big thing. It's one of the big reasons why I don't smoke, because so many of my family have suffered with asthma, and has, like, you know, if you smoke, it's just like nailing your coffin. So they prescribed me inhalers, and they prescribed me 2 inhalers, and I was like, yeah. But, like, there is a thing called sports asthma as well, which I think I've always suspected I have that, but I just got through it. So I have the inhalers, and I really don't take them, you know, unless if I was doing some kind of long run or something, I'd say, yeah, I'll take a whack of that, and I'll open up my airwaves or whatever. But the funny thing was, or the frightening thing was, they took my blood pressure at the time, and the nurse wrapped the thing around my arm, and I was kind of apprehensive of it, because I don't like doctors, you know. And there is a thing called white coat blood pressure, you know, if you read about it, it's like when you get nervous, when the strap goes around my arm, I just don't like the feeling of my arm being squeezed, and, you know, just strange, because if I'm doing judo and I get choked out, and kind of, whatever, I get choked out, and that, like, that can kill you. But when the thing goes around my arm and in that position, it's kind of like, I don't get nervous, but, you know, I can feel my pulse raising, I can feel my blood pressure raising. So she tested my blood pressure, and it was like 180. And I was like, whoa. I was looking at her, and she was saying, whoa. She was saying to herself, and I was like, fuck. It's like, this is bad. So, I just said to her, look, I am very apprehensive here, and, you know, I am very nervous, and I was like, I don't know. And she says, yeah, you could be, but, like, it still shouldn't be that high. And I'm kind of racking my brain, saying, what the hell am I doing wrong? You know, I walk a lot, I run a lot, I train a lot, I'm not particularly stressed out, you know, I mean, we all have our stresses, but I'm not a stressed out person. So it was annoying me. So I went home, and I was reading about it, and it was like 180 is like crisis blood pressure, and I was like, Jesus. So I started, like, you know, laying down on the couch thinking, if I move, I'm gonna get a stroke. I was like that, you know, I was going into that position, like, I was like, fuck this. So I rang back, and I said, look, this is, like, I can't, you know, I can't live like this. If all comes to all, and it's some genetic thing, I just get, you know, medication, that's it. Like, so I arranged to go in, and I got a machine put around my arm, and it monitors your blood pressure all day long. So it's like for 12 hours, it's like every half an hour, and then for sleep, it's like every hour. So this thing was hooked to my arm, and, you know, I had a little box with a computer on it, and I was like, oh God, and I could feel it going off, you know. Like, the first, like getting your blood pressure taken is bad enough, but the first, like, I don't know, 6 times in 3 hours, I was like, Christ, do I have to put up with this? You know, I had to sit there. I was doing, you know, regular things, like, you know, doing a bit of cooking and doing a bit of cleaning, small bit of writing and stuff. And and I was like, oh God. So then I went back the next day, and I was like, oh, like, handing into the thing, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? So they took it off, and the nurse uploaded the file to the computer, and she walked out to the doctor. So I, you know, naturally peeked in, and I was like, okay. So the doctor came back, and it was fine. It was like 100 and just about 128, popping to 130 back down. All night long, it was like, you know, normal 118, 120 over 80. Like, so I was like, okay. The conclusion that I came to in the end was that when she, the nurse, used the first cuff, like, my arms are big, you know what I mean? They're not huge big, but they're 17 inches maybe, you know, 17 and a bit. And I think, like, when the cuff wrapped around my arm, and I actually read this as well, that the cuff has squeezed my arm so much that it's given a false reading. So when they gave me the ordinary cuff, it just showed an exact reading, and it measured the blood pressure, as I said, like, I think it was like 36 times in an hour. So I was like, okay, that's fine. But it was like, it was a scary kind of thing, because I was, you know, when you don't do anything, when you're not doing anything to do that, you know, I don't eat salt, I don't eat a lot of sugar, you know, I look after myself as best I can, I'm fit, like, you know. Now, I did read, like, that, you know, some people just have elevated blood pressure and they're healthy. It's just the way they're born. And especially, like, if you do, you know, I don't do as much weights as I was doing even up to about 6 months ago. I kind of cut down and I dropped a bit of, like, muscle size, because I did feel a little sluggish. And it was like, whoa, it was that was gone. But then, you see, you don't know, because there were things going on in with my family life as well, with my parents and stuff like that were kind of, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't stressing me out as much. And the actual overall 24-hour test proved that it wasn't what I thought it was. But it was kind of a weird experience, you know, because I was, as I said, like, if you're doing something and you go, okay, like, if you're doing something like that and you're sick, you go, oh yeah, sure, I can correct that, I can get it done. And it was just one of those things. So there was probably like a week of that, and I was kind of going, fucking hell, like, what am I going to do here? And it's a strange feeling, because you're kind of like, all right, I'm stuck to the chair, I have 180 over 80 blood pressure. Like, if I cough, I can die, which is probably not true. Because when you look into blood pressure, if blood pressure is bad, a lot of it is your lifestyle that will make it worse. So if you're a drinker, if you're, you know, if you're overweight, if you're smoking a lot, if you're bad diet, so I had all those factors out anyway before anything. So I was kind of okay. But as I said, like overall, it was probably about a week and a half, 2 weeks, and I was kind of going, oof, and your mind goes out of things as well. So when I came back then, when I came back with the thing, I was like, it was such a relief. Like, I was like, and even, as I said, like, the second cuff that was on my arm, even when they put the actual blood pressure machine on my arm, I knew when the cuff was on, I was like, this is different. Like, and, like, you know, these machines are worth, like, I think they're worth up to like 5,000 euros. So yeah, I was happy with that anyway in the end, and it worked out okay, you know. So when I'm recording, like, when there's things going on, I always try to get material out there, you know. Sometimes it might mean changing the material a little bit for a while and then going back to something else. But yeah, I can't complain in the end. And, you know, it just, as I said, it was really cool that I was okay. But, you know, guys, sometimes these things kind of hit and you're kind of going, what the hell? And you know, but then, like, you learn about your body, and you learn, you know, sometimes it could be like that you're going too fast, or you're doing too much, which in the end didn't work out that way at all, because the test proved all of that, so that was good. And then I had a period of minding my parents, which was kind of taxing. No, it's at the calming down a bit. No, there's still a lot to do, but, like, it's at the calming down a bit. So I kind of have a bit more free time to work and a bit more free time to write a bit better and get projects done that I want to do. You know, like when I do audios, I have like it's strange, like, 'cause I have audios in mind, and then I have like these things I call like hit single audios. So those kind of audios that I go, oh, this one's going to be juicy, and I mention them for a while, and I don't get to them, you know, and then like, oh, but I have like a few that are really scripted out and ready, and like ready to go, that are probably in the making for a year, you know. They're in the making for a full year, and I can't wait to unleash them, like, you know what I mean. Now, another thing I'm looking at is I'm looking at releasing singles, because the tactic behind that is to, like, in Audible and stuff like that, I want to start getting the name Gale Force out, and I want to kind of change the way like erotica is looked at. You know, there's a few different types of erotica, and there's nothing wrong with all of them, really. Like, but like a lot of them are reading, you know, they're just bland reading. No, I shouldn't say bland, because it's not a nice thing to say, but you know, they're just reading. There's people reading stories, and a lot of people enjoy that. But I want to kind of change it to, or actually get this one, you know, more recognized and more seen as a more of an experience more than anything. So I'm ramping up on that. I'm as well with the Pierre Tears. Like, I did three last week, and I released two. And what I want to do as well, I'm looking at like reading through the Pierres, that like, you know, there's a lot of them catching my eye, like all of them catch my eye. But there's like I've done PAs that had like simple three lines, but there's some of them there that have a lot of writing in them, and I want to get to them. So I want to read through them, and you know, just to acknowledge that I am reading through them, and to talk to you about them as well, you know, to say that what I can do or what I will do if I get the time, you know, because like when you think about it, I've only one voice, you know, I've only in a lot of time. Then you have like moods, as I speak about, you have moods that you need to be in. You can't just record some audios when you're not, like, if you're trying to do an alpha audio and you're feeling tired, or you're feeling more in a chill mood, you can't really do that, like, you know, like in the bar audio I did last week, I wanted to, like, it was a funny thing with that, I wanted to kind of like chill it down a bit, but I was just so energetic, like at the time, you know, I was like pumping like testosterone through my veins, and it started kind of like taking the life, it takes a life of its own. You know, you don't realize it, like it's just like vroom, ramping up, and it's like, fuck, this is going somewhere, and I can't stop it, like, you know. So this week I'm gonna kind of go a bit more off script, you know what I mean? I'm gonna go a bit more get a bit more loose and a bit more freedom. So I want to start getting back to, you know, that kind of original erotica that I use, which I will utilize a lot more. You know, I have one already ready for this week, and I have a couple actually, and I have some niche ideas as well. I've noticed that some of you ask for ideas that, like, kind of, you know, that kind of touch me a little. I like the self-help type audios. I like to get audios out that like are not just for like masses of people, but for you know, people with certain what would I call it, what the world sees as ailments, which I don't really see, because I mean, I have some certain types of like touches of this and that as well, you know. I know I have, like, you know, so I kind of can understand a lot of what people are saying to me. I've got an itchy beard. It was scratchy, scratchy, itchy beard. You know what I mean? So I want to get to those as well. And there are loads of audios there that I want to get to. And you know, it'll take time, but I'll get to as many as I can, over time. And yeah, so upward and onward we'll go from there, and hopefully, you know, we can get stronger and stronger. Now, I could, like, I'm looking at the possibility of, like, I have some family asking me to get involved in a construction project. And I'm looking at that as well at the moment. I'm thinking, could I do like a month of that, you know, just because, like, the thing about me is, like, I was doing it last week, actually. You know, the scars on my fingers to prove it. And I was doing some last week, and I really enjoy getting into, like, you know, carpentry and, you know, getting kind of physical with stuff. It kind of, I don't know, it kind of brings me alive again, you know, not that I'm dead, but, you know, it brings that another kind of aliveness out in it. And I'm looking at that as well for maybe 4 or 5 weeks. I could do that. I could give it a little run and see what I can glean from it, what I can what I can feel from it. So I might look at that as well for a while. I don't know yet, no, though. I don't know yet, you know. It all depends on what is going down. You know, what way I feel. If I feel like diving headfirst into it, yeah, I'll do it, no problem. If I feel, nah, I won't bother. But I want to start, like, I want to start getting more material out. Stitching more albums together and trying to secure more of a future as well for myself, because, like, this is kind of like, you know, what I give up for this is kind of like, it was a chance, you know, it's a big chance that I've taken, you know what I mean? It is, like, there's no other way of looking at it. It's fickle enough, so I have to kind of, you know, ramp up and get things kind of going a bit more, get the motion in motion, and see what I can do. I hope you enjoyed this little talk. I hope you did. I was probably gotten a lot more than little, no, at this stage. And I hope you enjoyed. Hope you enjoyed Shiny and his antics and his elephant stories. He's feeding the elephants now at the moment. He's going to be making an appearance as well soon. And as I said, look, I'm looking at all your ideas. I'm constantly reading the threads. I did have a little bit of a time in the last couple of weeks, but that's passed, so that's good. And we can, you know, just head on in as good as we can and see what happens. So I'm going to wish you all a very good week, and the best of luck to you all. And I'm going to do some writing now, and I'm going to have some food. And as I said, I have some audiobooks coming. I'm going to release some singles to just, like, it's kind of like to put my name, it's not for money as such, as to put the Gale Force brand up in lights where it'll attract more attention to what's going on, you know, because, like, having 4 albums up is kind of like, okay, you know, over the last, what, 5 years, it's like, you know, whereas, like, I probably have, like, all together maybe 11 albums worth of material that I just didn't get around to doing, which I am working on them at the moment. You see, with this, like, you're working, you're writing, you're recording, and then you have a lot of, like, producing. You have, like, like, I'm fanatical about everything, like, you know. So you have, like, song mixing. You have searching for Foley, and then you have to go back to, like, making albums and getting things ready. Like, as I said, I haven't put albums together in Orders of Public, but I have been, like, gathering them and getting them ready and doing the voice work for them and stuff like that. So it's, you're always doing something, you know, you're never kind of, like, at a loose end, you know. And I like being busy all the time anyway, so yeah. So I just want to thank you all again for sticking by me. And I will say to you that, like I'm gonna really crank up the energetic audios in the next couple of weeks, because I just feel that way. I feel like, you know, I feel like I'm really kind of like, I don't know what it is. It's like I just feel something inside me, like, saying there's something building up. So be prepared, be olive. And Yeah, so I'll catch you all later, and I hope I didn't bore you with this big, long podcast. And hi to everyone on YouTube as well, and all the new subscribers. You know, it's been really fun. And your comments are always brilliant. I read every single comment on YouTube, every single comment on Patreon. I read everything. So thanks for all your positivity. And I love you all. Okay? Bye-bye.